वर्स नंबर 47। योगिनामपि सर्वेषां मद्गतेनान्तरात्मना श्रद्धावान् भजते यो माम्। समे युक्ततमो मतः। टुगेदर योगिनामपि सर्वेषां मद्गतेनान्तरात्मना श्रद्धावान् भजते यो माम् समे युक्ततमो मतः। सो अमंग योगीज नाउ दे से ओ देर आर डिफरेंट काइंड्स ऑफ मेडिटेटर्स। यस देर आर डिफरेंट काइंड्स ऑफ मेडिटेटर्स। विल मेंशन सम ऑफ देम टुडे। बट ही सेज अमंग डिफरेंट काइंड सर्वेशाम अमंग ऑल काइंड्स ऑफ meditator, who is the most superior or who is the most dear to the Lord? Mad gatena antaratmana, he merges his self into me. Antaratman, I am your self. And a person who merges his BMI, his PFT, his perceiver, feeler, thinker, merges it into me, the Lord. When he says me, Bhagavan Shri Krishna, when he says me, he does not only mean Krishna, the flute player, you know, of Gokul, of Vrindavan, but Krishna, who is the self of all. Because he, when he's teaching the Bhagavad Gita, he's identifying with the total consciousness, the Brahman. So when he says me, what he means is the Lord that is within. And for each one of us could be difficult, different. Somebody could be Krishna, Bhakta, somebody Shiva, somebody Mother Saraswati, Mother Durga. It could be Jesus, you know, Allah. It doesn't matter, but it is all one consciousness which has different names. So when he says me, we should understand as me, that consciousness. So among all yogis, one who merges his self in me, and then Shraddhavan. Shraddhavan means with faith. We'll talk about Shraddha a little bit. Shraddhavan, bhajate yomam. Bhajate, who does bhajan. One who does bhajan worships me. So bhajan also is very misinterpreted. And we'll talk about that. Sa me yukta tamo mataha. Me mataha. It's my opinion that he is yukta tama. He is the greatest meditator, greatest yogi. So, out of all the yogis, one who merges his or herself in me and becomes one with me and worships me with faith, he is the highest. So what do we mean by merged in me? So what happens is that we are at this moment engaged in the world of objects, emotions and thoughts, and our mind and intellect rules our, so the mind gives us the emotions, the intellect gives us ideas, and the body is moved towards objects, emotions, thoughts. Then let us get this object, let us meet this person who is very nice, let us study this. So all that is there. But a person who meditates goes beyond the mind and intellect. That's why they say that in meditation you quieten the mind which is racing outward and wanting to possess and acquire things, you quieten the mind. And then with that quiet mind, the ego, the individuality goes inward and feels the Lord's presence as I. Not as God who is somebody outside in the temple or in Kailash or in Bethlehem. Not God who is in the mosque or the church. But God who is within me. They clearly can experience the God's presence as I. It's not, people think of experience as, oh, in when I'm sitting in meditation, I saw blue light or I heard some flute or... Those experiences are still at the mind level. It is good. There's nothing wrong if you get these experiences. But do not get stuck that only if I see a blue light or only if I hear the flute of Krishna that I am progressing in meditation. Those are mind-created experiences which are good. There's nothing wrong. But one should not get stuck. One should go beyond the mind and instead of seeking those experiences, seek the experience of who am I. And that is not an experience in the sense of I experience this sitting on this chair or experience eating a sweet. It is experience of knowing who am I. It is experiencing myself. You see, I all the time experience myself. Yes, but I experience myself as this ego, as Anil or Kusum or Satish. But I am that consciousness. That experience is what we are looking for. And then there are various techniques of meditation. Some people meditate on Om, some people meditate on a symbol, you know, like a shivaling they meditate on, or they meditate on a particular sound, or they meditate on light, or some people meditate on nature, or some people meditate on the form of the Lord. They close their eyes and they can see the Lord's form from head to toe. All those are good, but ultimately all of them have to lead inward to who is the knower. If I'm meditating on Om, who is aware of the sound of Om? Even though I am chanting, who is the one aware of the chanting? If I'm watching a light, who is this consciousness within that is seeing the light? Or when I'm meditating on the form of the Lord, even with my eyes closed, if I can see Krishna playing the flute or Shiva sitting in meditation, who is that knows this form? So ultimately, it has to go to who is the knower of this, whatever experience. If I am meditating on nature, who knows this? And that is me. And who is that me? That me is the Om, the consciousness. And so ultimately, the meditation has to lead inward to who am I? And that is the final, and that is the experience that we should have. Now, the word Shraddha, we have talked many times here. Shraddha is not blind faith, but faith accompanied by knowledge. That's why Shankaracharya ji says that Guru Vakya and Shruti Vakya. So what the scriptures have said and what the Guru has said, a clear understanding of that is Shraddha. In the Vivek Chudamani, he clearly indicates that Shraddha is not only blindly, okay, I just believe, but whatever the teacher has said, whatever the scripture has said, I understand it, I apply it, and then I say, yes, that is right. Then my Shraddha is strong. Otherwise, today I believe in this God, and then I pray to him every day, and then I didn't get what I wanted. I said, oh God, please get me this job, get me. And I didn't get the job, so I said, this is a useless God. Krishna, I don't. Not from tomorrow, I'm going to worship Shiva. Maybe Shiva can get me a job. So you know, that then you have not understood. And people do that. You know, people do that. They get angry at one form of God and they start. So the point is that all of them are manifestation of that one reality. It doesn't matter which you pick, as long as you know that that alone is not God, but that is a manifestation of the totality. And then bhajan, people again misunderstand. People think bhajan is just singing songs. That's very good. But that alone is not bhajan, because sometimes people abuse this or misuse it, like it happens in the north, I'm sure it happens elsewhere too. When they do this Mata Ki Chauki, you know, they do these prayers for mother. That is very good. But what they'll do it, they'll put it on a loudspeaker where the whole neighborhood can hear it. And it goes on till 9, 10 o'clock at night, midnight. You know, now that is, and the poor, I remember my nephew said he can't study in those days because he tries to read and this noise is blaring. You think Mata will be happy that you are disturbing her children and not letting them study? You want to do the prayers, do it, but do it so where your house can hear it. You know, you have invited your guests, you have 50 people, 100, so okay, so in that area, but not. So the bhajan has to be understood correctly. Yes, you are chanting the name of the Lord, but it should not disturb anybody else, or you should not force anybody else to listen to it. You know, I'm doing it. That's very good. You have your guests come. And then also bhajan, Gurudev mentions, and it is, you have seen that some groups, they start singing and they get so crazily mad, they completely lose their senses. And they keep dancing till they fall down in exhaustion, and they are, now they say they experience great joy. Maybe they do, but again, that I think is a misunderstanding of bhajan, because what you're doing is your mind is creating this illusion. It is a mind created, and you think you have seen God. I don't know, I haven't done it, but according to the people of knowledge, that is not true bhajan. What is true bhajan is when you glorify the God with all your actions. That is true worship. Truly to worship God, my actions should be dedicated to God. And in my prayer, I say, O Lord, may you be pleased with me by my actions. May my body be healthy so I can serve you. May my mind be sharp so I can know you. So dedicating all actions and becoming one with God, that is true bhajan. Now here the word yukta tama is used. So there are three grades in Sanskrit. So yukta, yukta tara, and yukta tama for any noun. So yukta means one who is united with Lord. Yukta tara means one who is better, who is even more close to God. And yukta tama is the highest. So it is like good, better, and best. So when he says yukta tama means he is the highest yogi who has totally merged himself or herself with me. And that's what, when we say God's favorite, it's not that God plays favorites, but I should always be alert as to what should I do so my Lord may be pleased with me. If I do these actions, he will be pleased. If I do not do this, he will be unhappy with me. So, and we know, you know, what is right and what is wrong. It's not that God is somebody who's watching over you. It is the Lord within us, you know, who is the one we have to be constantly aware of. And once we do that, then the blessings of the Lord flow through us. Because once we are bringing the Lord in all our actions, then they say such a person, he experiences divine health, his mind and intellect become pure, and he becomes the vehicle to serve the Lord. And we can see, for example, Swami Chinmayananda, how after enlightenment, he did not just stay in the Himalayas, but he traveled throughout the world. Even when his heart was working only at 15%, he was still traveling and giving lectures. So he becomes an instrument of the Lord. And that's why they say, may thy grace and blessings flow through us to the world around us. We say that in the pledge, and that is the idea. That is, and such a person goes beyond sorrow. People say, you know, I have heard in Gita class, I am Brahman. So from today, I am Brahman. Okay, that's very good. So I am Brahman, but I still have this particular sorrow. So Brahman has no sorrows. So if you have sorrow, then you are not Brahman. Or you have not understood what is Brahman. Yes, I am Brahman. And as I am Brahman, my body may have some pain. My mind may have some problems. Intellect, but they do not affect me because I am that consciousness. And I deal with situations. Whatever situation, like Arjuna had a situation where he had to fight a war. He said, you are Brahman, but at this moment, your job is to remove evil. So whatever situations come, we deal with, but we understand that all the problems are at the body, mind, and intellect level. And I am beyond those. And then I deal with problems. It does not mean that the person becomes like a stone, but he deals with situations, and he's samyak, he's balanced, he's equanimous in all situations. And in Ashtang Yoga, those of you who know, there are 8 steps in Ashtang Yoga: Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayam, Pratyahar, Dharana, Dhyan, Samadhi. So Yama and Niyama are, first is control of the body, and the second is how do I deal with people, so relationships. Then asana and pranayama we know, doing the physical exercises and the breathing, pranayama. Then pratyahar means withdrawing from things that are taking me away from my goal of spirituality. And the last three, dharana, dhyana, and samadhi, are the most important. Where having withdrawn from the world, then I develop a dharana, a firm commitment that this is my goal in life, to reach God, to know God. And I've said that repeatedly, but that should become everybody's goal, that in this life I must reach God, I must know God. And that has to become everybody's goal. Otherwise, studying the Bhagavad Gita is of no use, or, you know, being on the spiritual path. And whatever path you take, you want to do service, you want to do prayer, you want to do knowledge, But always remember, God is within and connect with that. And we suggest daily meditation. Meditation must be done every day, at least 15 to 20 minutes. So you can start with. And then as you start enjoying, you can do even twice a day. You can start your day with meditation, end with meditation, or 20 minutes is good. And then if you have more time on a Saturday, maybe, you know, sit for a longer period of time. I know we are all busy, but I see most of the people here, most of us are empty nesters. Kids are already gone. So you have plenty of time. And even if kids are home, just to get up 20 minutes earlier and just sit. This is my time with God. This is my appointment with the Lord who is of my heart. And that should become the most important activity of your day. And once you start your day with remembering the Lord and, you know, spending some time with Him, then your mind automatically becomes calm, automatically becomes pure, becomes peaceful, and you're able to deal with situations much better. Because most of our problems are mental. Physical problems, you know, we can take care of. You can take a Tylenol if you have a headache or if you have a fever, or you can take some antibiotics. But the mental problems are very hard to overcome, and meditation is the best way to quieten the mind and overcome mental problems. That's why he says, Tasmat Yogi Bhava Arjuna. O Arjuna, therefore you must meditate. So this is the end of the sixth chapter. We can just chant the last portion. Om Tat Sat. Okay, we can do it together. Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su Upanishadsu Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade Dhyana Yogo Nama Shashto Dhyayaha. So Om Tat Sat. Om is one of God's names. Tat means that consciousness which is total, and Sat means existence, that which is everywhere. Iti, thus now at the end of this sixth chapter, he's remembering, he's saying, talking about who? Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su, the esteemed Bhagavad Gita, the one that we, the mother Bhagavad Gita that we worship. And what is the Bhagavad Gita? It is an Upanishad. It is a summary of the Upanishad. So in the Bhagavad Gita, which is in the Upanishad, which is, and in the Upanishad of the Bhagavad Gita, what is it? Brahma Vidya. It is the highest knowledge, and it is Yoga Shastra, and it is the science of Yoga. Yoga means not the physical yoga, but yoga is uniting with the Lord. And it is a dialogue between Shri Krishna, the Lord, and Arjuna, the student. And the chapter is called Dhyana Yoga. And it is the sixth chapter. So here the chapter ends. So we ended the sixth chapter. And next week we'll start the seventh chapter. Chapter 1 to 6 talk about who am I. And how do I deal with the world? It talks about karma yoga and how to work. And 7 to 12 talks about God. So next week we'll talk about God. And the last verse of the 6th chapter where he says, one who dedicates his life to me is the most superior. So the 7th chapter will tell us who is this God that we worship and how to dedicate. So that's what Bhagavan does. The last verse of every chapter, he introduces the next chapter. So the whole seventh chapter is an outline of this verse that we did, verse number 47 today. How to merge in the self and how to know who is God. So any questions we have? Yeah, it is yukta, yeah, yukta, yukta tara, and yukta tama. So the yukta is good, yukta tara is better, and yukta tama is the best. At least somebody is paying attention. Thank you. And we'll meditate on the self, who is the knower. We'll meditate on that. Last week we meditated on Om, but today we'll meditate on who the self is. we'll just meditate a few minutes. Start with the resolve that this is my time with God. Back erect but not stiff. Eyes softly closed. Bring the attention to the body. Start from the head and relax each part. Relax the head and face, the neck, the shoulders and arms and hands. The chest, the abdomen, the back, completely relaxed. The hips, the legs, the feet. Now start from the feet and move back upwards all the way to the head and consciously relax every part of the body. Completely relaxed. Mind is cheerful. I am happy to be meditating. Now turn our attention to the breath. Slowly breathe in and out. And as you breathe out, as you breathe out, mentally chant Om. Slow, deep breaths, chanting Om as you breathe out. Full attention is on the breath and nothing else. If the mind wanders, bring it back to the breath. Body is relaxed. Attention is on the breath. At this moment, I am neither a father or a mother, not a man or a woman, not a son or a daughter. I am a seeker of truth. The mind might be wandering, but bring it back by observing the breath. Now we turn our attention to who knows this body. I have a body, but who is the knower of that? Who is the knower that knows that I am breathing? Who is the knower that knows when the mind is wandering or the mind is quiet? Who is the one that is enlivening this body, this breath, this mind? That is who I am. I am that witnessing and living consciousness that Bhagavan Sri Krishna talks about in the last verse. I am that consciousness that is aware of the body, that is aware of the mind, that is aware of the breath, that is aware of my surroundings at all times, that is present in my waking, dream, and deep sleep states. That consciousness I am. So for the next few minutes, please pay attention to that consciousness that is enlivening every breath, every thought, every movement of my body. That is who I am. That is my real, true nature, the self, the consciousness within. The next few minutes, just silently pay attention to that and assert to yourself, I am not this body, mind, intellect. I am that consciousness that is eternal, unchanging.
Thank you.
शांति शांति शांति। हरि ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः।